right? Where I'm talking about Chet Baker, who, you know, was a crazed guy, but he wrote these beautiful, beautiful songs, including, a very famous version of My Funny Valentine. And that comes up in a poem where I guess, to go back to your word, I'm nostalgic for an embarrassing kind of naivete that we had in the 60s.
That's a key for something that Ralph first introduced me to. I don't know if you can get this on camera, but this sort of flower child with the long hair and the intense dark eyes is none other than Kevin Clark, picture from the 60s?
1977, actually, but it was in Berkeley. That's, the 60s are still going on in Berkeley, right?
This is just the mandatory formal academic dress at Berkeley.
That's right.
One of us, one of your several chapbooks, because time's running out, I want to ask about getting this book. As you have made public, this book was the fruition of many years of writing. You've mentioned that the last section is Granting the Wolf, which was an early chapbook, one of your three chapbooks. And finally, after many contests being entered and many kind of bridesmaid positions where many of us end up before success, the book comes out. It's gone through 11 titles. What does it mean to you to have it out? And what is this title, In the Evening of No Warning?
First, let me try and answer the title. Publisher went around and around with me on the title. That's the title I wanted. I really wanted that title. There's a poem called Last Laugh at the Bombay Grill, and I like that title for the poem, but I don't like it for the book. And then the title, because they thought it was catchy and funny. But the most of the poems in the book aren't catchy and funny. I think that title somehow reflects the loss of surety that the narrators of these poems experiences. So I think it unifies the book in that way. And it also comes from the title poem, which is called Our Children Playing Catch in the Evening of No Warning.
It's almost like an opening of a psalm or a biblical.
Yes. Well, I liked, in fact, the word elegy comes up in the very beginning of the poem. I really like that that notion at times. In fact, a lot of times what I play with in my work is, on one hand, these kind of sad elegiac poems, and on the other hand, this kind of speedy, faster poem, edgier kind of thing. I think you were asking about how does it feel to have the book.
These poems span how many years?
Well, I guess I wrote A Widow Under a New Moon in 1978, 79. So it was 23, 24 years. And I had a little scare. I had a blood clot in my lung, and this was this past summer. And there I was in the emergency room getting shot up with morphine, hearing the nurses asking my wife, where is your durable power of attorney? And I'm having this existential moment. And one of the many things that flashed by in my consciousness was, well, at least you've got the book out, right? You know, it is, at one way I feel like I have done something that I've always wanted to do, and it is very satisfying. On the other hand, and I think Ralph can probably talk to this too, once you have the book, you like it a lot. I think it's like winning the World Series. You want to win it again, right? And so I find myself pressing. I've been writing a lot. We were talking about this. I have about 25 or 30 poems ready to go out soon. So
I might have liked to ask you this on the behalf of many who may see this or read this conversation, not least students of writing. What does it take to sustain the endeavor that many years?
That's a really good question. I just love writing, and I love poetry. And that single transformative moment that's unlike anything else, when you feel the poem, as Yeats said, click into place, I know you both know, there is nothing like that. It is a good drug. And because I like that feeling, and I like it, the linguistic invention, you know, and creating a world with a poem, and I love that feeling, I just kept doing it. Also, I got to tell you, there was about a 6-week period, somewhere in the late 80s, where I got into a funk. And my wife said, Kevin, get out of this funk now. It's ridiculous. It's inappropriate. I don't want to put up with it. And she was right, you know. I live in a world that's a social world. I live with her and children. You know, I shouldn't be laying this on them, this difficulty I was having getting the book published. So I've always kind of relied on her to keep my bearings straight. And as far as kids, you know, young people writing, 17, 18, 20, 21, love it. Love what you do.
I wonder if we are at the end of what was an unfortunately short conversation. Just before reading a poem to conclude this, could you say something briefly about organizing poems from that many years? It's in three sections. You already said that the last section is, in fact, the earliest. It's the chapbook sequence on the death of your father, granting the wolf. The second section is the only one that has an epigraph to it. It's from Lord Jim, Conrad's Lord Jim. I knew his appearance. He came from the right place. He was one of us. And the first section opens with the title poem. Taking them in the correct order and very briefly, how did they fall into this ordering?
Well, thanks for asking that question. The first and third sections, while different, the poems are much shorter in the first section than they are in the third. They're primarily in an elegiac tone. The middle section is not. So I organized the poems by tone, more or less, though there are thematic commonalities in each of the three sections. The middle section is edgier. Ralph was talking about the poem that's right at the center of the book, which is called One of Us, and it reads fast. Those poems read fast. I would say, if I had to come up with a term, I would say that those poems are about the psyche under pressure, right? People on the edge, a narrator who's either driven or riven. And I wanted to balance that so that you entered the book thinking about love and family. You go through this kind of hell in the middle of the book. I hope it's an entertaining hell. And then you come out with, having earned the right to feel, at least temporarily, a positive about the world around you. So it does end on an upbeat note, I think, I hope. Mm-hmm. Right?